must be interesting coming straight from a class to the Srimad Bhagavatam. Make some adjustments with the mind and heart. So, we had a homework assignment. Some people are looking up and some people are looking down. Don't call on me. Don't even look at me. We'll ask for volunteers to give a little summary of the this chapter that we've been discussing. Chapter 9 to Canto 7. How does the chapter begin? What's the opening scene? Let me ask you this. Did anybody have the opportunity, create the opportunity to review? Okay. Very good. Okay. So, there's a story that goes along with Prahlad's prayers to Lord Sringadeva. What's the story? How does the story begin? What's the scene opening at the beginning of the chapter? Yeah.
After feeling the knowledge still high, first Brahmaji, Bhagavan, she also fears that Maharaj has been asked by Bhagavan to approach me at peace.
Okay. Then what happens? Somebody else? We can take turns. Retell the story. What happens next? Yeah.
He requested by Lord Brahma that Lord Maharaj goes and pulls down, touches his head, pulls the feet of Lord Nrsimhadev.
Yeah.
Lord Nrsimhadev places his hand on Lord Maharaj and takes him up and places his hand on his head.
Yeah.
And then Lord Maharaj begins to offer his kisses. While when Lord Nrsimhadev places his hand on Lord Maharaj, he's invited to
Yeah. Okay. Did you hear what he said? Could you hear or should I repeat? You didn't hear. I'll repeat. You got it right. Have to project a little bit. So after being requested by Lord Brahma, very humbly and obediently, Prahlad approaches Lord Nrsimhadev. And he comes before Lord Nrsimhadev and prostrates himself and bows his head before the Lord. In a gesture of affection, Lord Nrsimhadev reaches over and picks him up. And then places his hand upon his head in a benedicting gesture. Upon being touched by the hand of Lord Nrsimhadev, Prahlad experiences that he's being filled with transcendental knowledge. And he's very ecstatic. And he begins his prayers. Now, how does he begin his prayers? Yeah?
First of all, he says that I'm not qualified at all to offer these prayers to you. I'm born and raised in Shanti. I have a plan of protection. I'm not allowed to offer these prayers.
Right. But, because I've been ordered to do so by Lord Brahma, therefore, in submission to Lord Brahma, my superior, I'm coming before you. Then what does Prahlad say in his prayers to Lord Nrsimhadev? Not sure. You think. What does he say?
Then he says that Prahlad Maharaj says that the offering of purification is not for the lords, but it's for the students, for the person he is offering. He's for his greatness. He offers.
First of all, he says that what is not a qualification for pleasing the Lord? That even if one is decorated with all the qualities of a Brahma, like freedom, jealousy, and austerity, and peacefulness, control of the senses, and charity, and so forth, still, if he is not a devotee of the Lord, he cannot please the Lord. Whereas a devotee of the Lord, he can please the Lord. And not only he can please the Lord, he's much greater because he can purify his family. Just by his purity, whereas a Brahmana cannot even purify himself without the quality of devotion.
That's what he said. So then he goes on. What are some of the additional things that Prahlad says in the course of his prayers? Yes, Mataji?
The Lord does not need any service, so even when something is offered to him, it is for the benefit of the devotee, he said. If one offers prayers to the Lord and hears his glories, then he is purified of his material life. And he also says that the Lord's appearance in the fearful form is a part of his pastime, and for his own pleasure he appears in this fearful form, and for the protection and the improvement of the universe.
Okay. Let's hear a little bit. There's some specifics about what Prahlad says about the fearful feature of the Lord. What does he say about the fearful feature of the Lord? He says several things. Yeah.
First of all, he says that the fearful feature of the Lord, although it invokes fear in the non-devotees. First of all, he says that now that Hiranyakashipu has been killed, your anger is no longer required because the devotees are fearful of you, the demigods, including Brahma. And Prabhupada comments that because the demigods are simple-minded, but they don't have the same understanding of who Narasimhadeva as Prahlad does, they have some fear. Therefore, he is doing the service on behalf of the demigods of trying to please Lord Narasimhadeva or pacify him.
So then he goes on about the fearful feature of the Lord.
He says that the devotees, particularly Prahlad, is not at all afraid of that feature because he knows the compassionate nature of the Lord. That fearful feature of the Lord is not meant for the devotees. He is not afraid of the fearful man soaked with blood, the teeth, the eyes, or the nails, or any of these things. Because those fearful features are actually as worshipable for a devotee as the pacified form of the Lord in any other feature. The devotee in full understanding, he worships the Lord regardless of what feature the Lord may appear. Then he does say that, although I'm not afraid of these things, I'm afraid of Maya, because I have bad association, I have demonic blood flowing in me.
Yeah.
I don't want to fall down again.
And therefore?
I'm seeking your protection.
And
call to your shelter.
Yeah. What specific appeal does he make as far as shelter and protection? Very significant.
He's asking for service to the devotee.
Yeah.
Let me be under the shelter to the devotee.
Can somebody elaborate on that particular understanding? That's very, very important part of Prahlad's prayers to Lord Srinadeva. Expand on that understanding a little bit. Yes.
Lord Mahaprabhu says that, how can I leave that service with him? Because of Nada service, I have been, actually I have no qualification, but well, I here if you will be in touch, blessed by the Lord. So, and Prahlad Maharaj, I say that I didn't have any qualification, but because of Narada's association, I have been uplifted, and so how can I give up that service? So,
okay, that's good. Any additional points on this important theme? Yes, Manish.
If you want to be trained through Narada, he said that you please train in the way of devotion, that's through Narada.
Yeah.
And another point is that he wasn't thinking that I'm already under the shelter of the Lord, because he was saying, you please give me your shelter. Yeah, because of that expectation of taking the shelter of the Lord, you are protected.
So just going back to what Krishna Smarana said, that the devotee sees this fearful feature and worships and adores that feature, and the pacifying, benedicting feature, the devotee also sees, appreciates, and worships. But Prahlad's not afraid of that feature the Lord is manifesting, but he's afraid of the contamination due to material association that he has had. And therefore, so this is the critical thing. We may also see, you know, this is a dangerous place with many, many risks lying ahead of us and to the side and in all directions. So, what to do? So Prahlad is petitioning the Lord for his shelter. Specifically, the shelter is engagement in devotional service, and access to that devotional service is through Narada. As you said, having no qualification still, by Narada's mercy, here he is, receiving Lord Nisringadev's full mercy. Being merciful upon him like he's not been merciful upon anybody ever before, simply by the grace of Narada. Therefore, shelter in service and requesting that he be further trained in that devotional service so that he can please the Supreme Lord even more. Then where does he go from there with his prayers? Let's see if somebody can come up with it. Yeah.
He goes to the crushing wheel of time.
Yeah. What does he say about the crushing wheel of time?
He says, my father, who just by raising eyebrows, who by raising eyebrows made demigods flee.
Yeah.
Now he is in a moment crushed by his death.
Yeah. And therefore,
I'm very afraid of this time factor. Please give me shelter and the Lord of this world.
Yeah. The indication is that he's anticipating and he's invoking, actually, both the merciful feature of Lord Nisringadev, which is an important theme as far as what we're going to speak about this evening. So, overall, that's what he's doing. And the mercy that he's looking for from the Supreme Lord is not power, wealth, influence, kingdom, material gain. Because he's saying, I've just seen it with my own eyes. The most powerful person in all of creation. Gone. All of that power, instantly, gone. So what is the use of attaining those things? So instead, I just want your shelter and I want your devotional service. Yeah.
You also explained at length how a devotee deals with his that he doesn't place a shelter in his
materialistic shelters, rather exclusively
Yeah, this is an important theme, not only in the prayers, but if, for some of you that were here through the course of the previous discussions on Prahlad's teachings, it's a theme of his teachings. He can transparently see the anatomy of material pursuits and finds that it's not an inviting place at all, which is what you're saying.
Any material enemy breaks off.
Yeah, those that are seeking to get on the other side of this material existence may take up some activities that are austere and troublesome, but they're more troublesome than the thing they're trying to overcome. But that's completely unnecessary, simply just approaching you in the spirit of loving devotion. Immediately one crosses over those things. Okay, very well. Rebuilding the chapter here. Any other points? Yeah.
I want to say that you have not appeared here to kill me. Like I mentioned, you want to see, but you have appeared here to keep the words of Narada.
You've appeared for what purpose?
To keep the words of Narada.
To keep the words of Narada. Can you explain that? Okay. Did everybody understand that? the mother of Prahlad was Kayadu. And while Hiranyakashipu was in the forest undergoing his austerities for a long, long time, Kayadu was placed in the care of Narada. So Kayadu requested a benediction from Narada that my son will not be born until Hiranyakashipu comes back from the forest, completing his austerities. So Narada gave that benediction, and what else did Narada do? You said it. Some indication that what was the indication? He'll be protected. So because Narada gave that statement, your son will be protected, Lord Nrisimhadeva came to fulfill that statement of Narada. Right? Just checking. So what does that mean? Expand on that a little bit. What's the significance of that statement? To uphold the word of your devotee, you're acting. So in other words, as far as the Lord is concerned, those who are to be curbed, vinachaya chaduskritam, the duskritis can be checked by some other thing, the Lord's personal coming. So he personally came, the personal reason, to personally fulfill the words of Narada, to uphold the words of his devotee. That's the personal nature of the Supreme Lord. Very good. Something else?
One more point to be said in that regard. Prahlad was saying that as far as I'm concerned, I'm not qualified compared to all these noble personalities. Mm. And as far as you're concerned, you're equal to everybody. Mm. So why is it that you've given me this extraordinary blessing of placing your hand upon me and killing my father? Reason for that is because Narada, and therefore I can't leave the service of Narada. Even if you give me any other benediction that's not according to the real benedictions I want.
is it?
Yeah. The nature, the idea is that when one is given some material reward, the tendency is, hey, thank you very much. I just won the lottery, or what, I don't know what they have, some system here. I just won some big inheritance. And then one forgets. The tendency is to become the enjoyer of that, take shelter of that thing as one's reward, some honor, some recognition, some title, some wealth, some something material, and take shelter there. So what Prahlad is saying is, he's maintaining steadfastly the spiritual position. Whatever it is that you're prepared to be merciful and bestow upon me, I will not accept shelter in that something. Only I want shelter in the service of Narada. Okay. Yes?
A simple message which my heart would understand is that approaching the Lord through spiritual master is the right spiritual path.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Okay, so then he moves into, we'll jump a little bit into the discussion that we've been having since I got back. The Prahlad's describing the cosmic manifestation and the inseparable nature of the cosmic manifestation from the Supreme Lord. So who wants to quickly summarize that? Nobody wants to do that. Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
Everything that exists is also one in the Lord, and it's also different from the Lord. Yeah. Like oneness is in the sense of relationship of that thing from the source with which it emanates. Like everyone, everything is one with the Lord in the sense that it's the energy of the Lord. But it's not the same as the Lord.
Okay.
But still the difference is there. The spiritual variegatedness is there.
And what's the example that Prahlad gives to illustrate that?
He gives two examples. The first one is the seed and the tree. Like, it comes out from the seed, but it's not that. Tree is much the same as the seed, because seed is the original source of the, sort of cause of the outcome of the tree.
Okay.
While it's also different from the seed, it's not exactly the tree.
Okay.
And then he gives the example of the subtle cause and the gross manifestation.
Which is like the seed producing the tree. Okay. And so similarly, what?
Lord is the subtle cause of everything that exists. So in that sense, everything is
a manifestation of the Lord.
And one with the Lord.
And yet at the same time, the Lord maintains his position as distinct.
He must aloof from his creation.
He has his own existence, which he can enter into. So he can come and enter into that which he creates, which came from him, and perform pastimes, which is a great mystery. What example of another avatar does he give? Who also came to protect, like Lord Nrisimhadev came to protect. Yes? Well, that's the demon. Who's the form of the Lord? Hayagriva, and Madhu and Kaitava. Madhu and Kaitava. What's the Madhu and Kaitava story? Yeah.
They're trying to steal the Vedas.
From whom? Who are they trying to steal the Vedas from? Somebody. Who? Lord Brahma. Then what happened? And what did he do?
He
killed them. He took the Vedas back and returned them to Lord Brahma. So now there's something, so he says similarly, there are many manifestations of you that are all fully transcendental. and have no contact with the modes of nature, have no affiliation with any form of conditioning, and yet you perform wonderful pastimes. You give protection to your devotees. Something is there about Brahma, going back to the previous thing of the Mahavishnu and Garbhodakshaya Vishnu and the appearance of Lord Brahma. What does he say about Lord Brahma? Yes. What was that realization?
Brahma, when he was born from the navel of Lord Vishnu, he wanted to know what was the source of everything.
Yeah.
So then he travels
into the water.
Into the water, following the stem for
100 years. It's a long time. Go ahead.
But then he fails in his attempt, so he then comes back and he hears a voice and follows according to instruction. That's the question.
Okay,
and then finally,
hundreds and hundreds of years he engages in that tapasya, and then what happens?
And then he finally realizes that the ultimate source is present even in him. He's
within his senses, within his body, within the whole cosmic manifestation. And in addition to that, what else happens? What is his realization? He realizes that oneness feature, but he also realizes the difference feature. What is that? He sees the form of Lord Vishnu. And it's described by Prahlad, what was seen by Brahma. So this same, back to this, just referring back, Brahma has this realization. But there's Lord Srinadev, same as Lord Vishnu, and he has this fear, because he doesn't see, as Prahlad sees, that this is also a worshipable feature of the Lord. He's afraid. So Prahlad, that means Prahlad's realization is more complete, a deeper realization of the absolute nature of the personality. So there are degrees of realization of the absolute truth. And Prahlad's realization is more complete. So then after establishing that, what does Prahlad say? It's what we discussed this morning. I know some of you are tired, but it's just this morning. Yeah.
And then he talks about his own disqualification, how he is impure in his mind and his senses. And he speaks how he is in full duality, whereas the Lord is always above duality.
Yeah.
Yes, then. So then he speaks that, you know, we are in a suffering condition, not only myself, but so many other living entities. So we need your blessings to be saved from this.
Uh-huh. Hey, that's very important. That's like a punchline. He's already, like Manish mentioned when he made his contribution, he's already in that position. Prahlad is already in that position. But he's seeing himself, one who is very, very, I gave some examples this morning about humility, and so many, but the very, very elevated personality is thinking, not just saying in a cute way, but they're actually thinking of themselves as not qualified. The Prahlad is of that substance. He's feeling very, very disqualified. And his prayer to the Lord, very significant. The thing that I particularly like about this section, what we read at the end of class this morning and what we're going to read this evening, is it gives, it's like the anatomy of a preacher. One who's really fixed in, I say preacher, but one whose concern for others is very strong. And it's the right kind of concern. It's not for the material welfare upliftment. It's for the spiritual well-being. What's their core consciousness like? Prahlad's displaying it. Something, the last verse that we spoke about had this phrase, Kriya Janan Anusevitan Naha. So he's saying, Prahlad is saying that persons who are very dear to you, Priya Janan, they're bearing the fullness of your mercy. Like Narada. He doesn't mention Narada by name, but he's speaking in a generic sense. Such persons who are just filled with your mercy, they can distribute. They have the power of attorney. They have the license to distribute your mercy freely. And so, please give those persons association to all the foolish people of this world. He says in text 42, this is the way of life for great personalities. It's a necessity for them to be kind and show mercy to the foolish. And something that, in text 43, so this is a new verse, we're moving on now. Our review is over. He uses the word vimudhan. Now I've heard Prabhupada speak on this section and refer to the section, and this phrase in text 43, if we were going to memorize something from this chapter, this would be it. Maya sukaya param udvahato vimudhan. Prabhupada would speak of the Maya Sukhaya civilization. Sukha, but Maya Sukha. The civilization of persons who have not taken shelter of the personality of Godhead creates so many other so-called shelters, just like, whole world of industry and marketing and commercial life, public, you know, the way people make their living today. It's Maya Sukhaya. And the idea is they're going full steam ahead with all of that business because, unlike Prahlad, they have no shelter of the personality of Godhead. So they're seeking happiness in a way that they're not going to find it. And as this phrase goes, they're hell-bent. They're totally determined to find happiness where there's no happiness. To find water in a desert. To find flowers in the sky. It's just that such things don't exist. Phantasmagoria. And the whole civilization is based on that whole pursuit. And it's very painful to a person like Prahlad to see that. And so, on the one hand, he's saying such persons are vimudhan. There's mudha and there's vimudha. Very foolish. But the way the Prabhupada has translated it, in the word for word, is I'm thinking of them also, or the way he's translated the verse, I'm simply concerned with love for them. So on the one hand, Prahlad's not a sentimentalist. He knows what's what, and he's saying what's what. As the expression goes, he's calling a spade a spade. Do you have that expression here in India? Yes? No? You know what it means? Yes, you know what it means. You identify that you if a person is a thief, you disclose you're a thief. Why are you stealing? Calling a spade a spade. You're something. You're breaking the law. You're abusing your authority. You're harming another person. Why are you doing this? You're violating Mother Nature by something. We were in our GBC meeting, we were discussing one of our farm properties in Madrid, just about 45 minutes outside of Madrid. We have a farm that was purchased, very large farm, very old buildings, very, very beautiful Radhagovinda deities, very large, beautiful, beautiful deities. And the farm was originally purchased with the idea that it would be connected to the activity in the city. They have a building, they have a little restaurant, and so persons would be contacted in Madrid, and they'd have a little bus that would shuttle people out to the farm, and they have a stream that has natural way of making hydroelectric power and irrigation canals, and you know, it's could be a very, very nice project. So one of the concerns they have is on the other side of the hill, there's a nuclear reactor plant. And then there's some consideration of where they're going to dispose of the nuclear waste. So one of the places they were looking was over on our side of the mountain to dispose of the nuclear reactive waste. So we were, our GBC had to make a decision. Do we want to keep this property or do we want to? And then somebody said, well, they just made a contract with Russia to send it to Siberia. Now that doesn't, but it's still, you know, it's even in Siberia, it's going to go in the water table and something's going to happen. I mentioned this to Krishna Smarana, Rajiv Dubey. There's a doctor that I know, Dr. Rajiv Dubey, mechanical engineering, works in robotics, and now he's the chairman of mechanical engineering department in a college in Florida. But he was, the field that he works in, robotics, is they deal with the nuclear waste. The robots go after the nuclear waste and put it in a container and seal it, and then, you know, carry it to some place where it gets deposited, and then off it goes and buried in the ground. So in North America, they had a place where they were depositing nuclear waste in another mountainous, very not very populated part of America, West Virginia. And Dr. Dubey was telling me that they're having quarterly meetings with the Department of the Environment and the so many different Department of Energy and this and that, because that you're going to put into a lead container that you put it down is also going to leak. But you couldn't make that decision because there's too much mega money invested with people who have vested interest that they're going to make their money, and you know, whatever happens to future generations, that's their problem. This is Maya Sukaya, civil meditation. It's in one example. They can't make headways to make a plan for alternative energy. They can't make a plan to, you know, go into the ground and deal with, because once you start doing that, then the word's out. Everybody, it's the top secret information, panics everybody. The water table is now becoming radioactive, and it's going to take 600 million years for it to, you know, atrophy, or whatever the thing is, to get so that it's not lethal. They don't want everybody to know that. So you just don't dig it up and reseal it. Don't stop the production. Just keep putting more in. Same technology, same methodology. Crazy. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. for the thing that brings the happiness, it brings, just as Prahlada is saying, it brings in an enormous amount of greater levels of distress. And to try to get out of that distress is more distressful than the distress, as far as the ways of approaching transcendental life. So, this is the category of foolish persons, vimudha, very foolish persons. But Prahlad has a deep compassion. Well, calling the foolish foolish, while calling the spade a spade, he actually has, this is the anatomy of a Vaishnava. He actually has deep compassion. Now it's very, very difficult to help a person who's foolish, because they're foolish. You extend a helping hand, and the tendency is for that foolish person to bite your hand. I'd like to tell another little story. This is our devotees in San Diego have had a very wonderful temple. San Diego is in Southern California, almost down to Mexico. They had a very successful temple for years and years, and the Indian, primarily South Indian families, they're not so happy going into the city. They wanted to have a very nice center outside the city, in addition to the city. So they had a plan that overall cost them $1 million to create the plan, the architectural plan and civil engineering and, you know, getting the zoning variations and all the technical paperwork stuff. And the final, this little, nice little story, the final thing was for somebody who was like to give the official sign off. They had, you know, 6 inches of papers. And so some bespectacled fellow came in, and there's the city planner and the city engineer and the civil engineer and the lawyers and the whole room full of 20 people. And one by one, he just took the pages, turned the pages, looked at it, made a little check. Turned the next page, made a little check. And he said, oh, this is the Hare Krishnas. Kept checking the page. Very good. Are you going to have a restaurant? Very good. Just kept it. And what normally takes hours or half a day at least, if not the whole day, it was done in about a half hour, 40 minutes. And he got up and walked away. And so our GBC member there approached him afterwards and said, you know, Mr. Douglas, can you explain what just happened here? He said, I went to school at UCLA. He was 47 years old. He said, every day you fed me. And my mother taught me, never bite the hand that feeds you. And I'll be visiting your restaurant. Give me a special order of pakoras. Most people are different than that individual. One may try to help such a person, and then that person who you're trying to help somehow gets it in their foolish brain that this is bad, or there's something, it's not mercy, it's something other than mercy. But Prahlad is saying such compassionate persons, nonetheless, it's their life to give the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Extensively, Prabhupada is discussing the alternatives that persons may sometimes consider. As far as Prahlad is concerned, he's not at all interested in simply achieving his own salvation. And so there are different paths that provide that salvation for oneself. Prabhupada discusses going to the forest in the the classic, one of the classic models is the one who is very, very serious about self-realization. They go to the forest and detach themselves completely from worldly life. And in this way, in a solitary way of life, depending upon the Supreme Lord to protect them from wild creatures and to sustain their bodies and just for their sustenance and their protection, they're dependent completely upon the Supreme Lord. But Prahlad is not interested in that. And our whole line of the Siddhic succession, similarly, is not interested like that. But rather, like Prahlad, Prahlad's like a hero for the followers of the Srimad Bhagavatam and for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As far as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personality who was Prahlad in this Leela made his appearance also in Chaitanya Leela. Does somebody know who that personality is? Who said to Lord Chaitanya, please deposit all the sinful reactions of all the conditioned souls upon me. I'll absorb all their sinful reactions. You simply deliver them. Who's that personality? Vasudev Datta. And what was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's reply? What did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say when he heard Vasudev Dutt speak like that?
It is only natural that he would say that because you are in partnership with Prahlad.
Yeah. He said, I'm Vasudev Dutt's man. In other words, I'm at his service. I'll stand at his door and be his foot servant and whatever he wants. Because of that quality of affection and compassion that Vasudev Dutt had. So, the Supreme Lord is very merciful and like he protected Prahlad. He's very protective of the devotee who takes this point of view or takes this upon himself as Prahlad is feeling. The foolish are certainly foolish. But, my dear Lord, please be merciful upon them. Just as Vasudev Dutt was saying, please deliver them all. All the conditioned souls. Every one of them. And if some of them are too sinful to deliver, transfer the reactions to me. I'll take that. I'll suffer birth after birth after birth after birth in hell. If you just simply deliver them. Of course, there's no question of a pure and saintly person like Vasudev Dutt suffering in hell. Because of the purity of his devotional service, such reactions by gestures of compassion upon others are burned in the fire of devotional service. I'm going to read just a little bit from the purport of text 43. There's a river known as Vaitarani between the material and spiritual worlds, and one must cross this river to reach the other side or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task, as the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita. So Duratiya, this word Duratiya also appears in this verse. Duratyaya Vaitaranyas. So to cross over the Vaitarani River is very, very difficult. So that which is very difficult becomes easy if one takes shelter of the spiritual potency. And the access to that spiritual potency is through such merciful personalities, like Prahlad, or like Narada, or those who are following in the footsteps of such personalities. Therefore, Prabhupada writes, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in the material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudhan, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, now this is an important thing. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, because it mentions that in the verse. I'm not afraid of material existence. But previously, he did say he's afraid of material existence. Now he's saying, I'm not afraid of material existence. So it certainly seems like a contradiction. Here it's resolved. Similarly, Prahlad is completely happy. He's completely happy just remembering the Supreme Lord and calling his holy name and engaging in his devotional service. He's completely happy. But he also, simultaneously, he has unhappiness. And what is the unhappiness of Prahlad? Seeing foolish persons being crushed by the wheel of time and completely misusing the valuable human form of life and ending up obliterated when it's not at all necessary to be situated like that. And so that makes him unhappy. So he's simultaneously completely happy and also unhappy. And similarly, he's completely unafraid of the future of material existence because he knows the art of taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. But he's fearful at the same time that if one becomes inattentive, and certainly for others by their being inattentive to the principles of spiritual life, it's a very fearful place. Padam padam yati padam yate sham. Very, very dangerous. So that simultaneously, by being spiritually situated, fearless. Certainly Prahlad was fearless. Seeing Lord Nrisingadev, the taunts and torments of Hiranyakashipu, fearless. But afraid of material existence, if it means through bad association or through the contact with materialistic persons, to become influenced by that bad association. And for their sake, fearful for them. So that, again, it's the theme of taking shelter in devotional service. Please give me the shelter of Narada. Please allow him to train me further in the ways of devotional service so that I can please you, Guru Nrisingadev. So he was simultaneously happy and unhappy. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. So, I just want to emphasize this one more time. Although the language fools and rascals is being used, which sounds like very harsh and condemning and, you know, really heavy, it's not a condemning mood. The mood is a compassionate mood. It's so unfortunate that they're wasting so their valuable energy, so, and human form of life. So please, Lord Nrisingadev, please be compassionate upon them. And me too, because this is the company I have in this world. Just going to cover one more verse. Text 44. But before I do that, that phrase at the end, let's see if we can memorize this. Maybe someone can put it on a piece of paper, type it out, and get the word for word. Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. From text 43. Somebody can take that responsibility. we can try to remember that from this chapter. So Prahlad says, O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. My dear Lord Srinadev, I see that there are many saintly persons, indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forests to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrata. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Very important. Same theme, but the theme is without shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, real happiness is not possible. That's the theme. Prahlad understands it. And what it means to him is not, let me take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. But what it means to him is, let all living entities take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. He's on that platform. He's on the Uttama Adhikari platform. For us, we may aspire, we should be aspiring to become Madhyama Adhikaris. You know this terminology? Yes. There's three stages. Beginning, intermediate, and top stage. So, in the beginning stage, Kanishta Adhikari, there's some idea of God and the ultimate importance of worshipping God. And one's life is directed towards worshiping God, particularly in a place of worship, in a temple, or mosque, or church, or synagogue, some place where God is, and one goes there to worship. And then, in the Madhyama, the middle stage, one also worships God, but one recognizes there are those who are similarly engaged in God's service. And those devotees are those who I should befriend. And then there are those who are very innocent, and I should compassionately extend myself to try to help them, like Prahlad. And there are some persons that are overtly inimical to God, wholeheartedly atheistic. They want to see God dead. And there are a class of such people that should be carefully avoided, as far as close association is concerned. The miracle of Prahlad is he's on the topmost stage where he's able to see all living entities in their connectedness with the Supreme. He's able to see all matter connected to the Supreme. And at the same time, he has this enormous compassion for those who are not seeing that connection. He wants to help them. So he's a real hero. The theme is, there is no happiness outside of the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. And the implication of that to Prahlad is, I've got to do something to help those who are not at the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Now he has a special password. He has special access to the Supreme Lord. So he's cashing in. He's making his deposit of that password. Please give your mercy upon these foolish people who are rushing full steam ahead into Maya Sukaya Param Udvahato Vimudham, creating a terrible civilization that's just increasing their suffering and the suffering of others, and how horrible. Now, many people would just want to distance themselves from such persons as far as possible. That's what he's saying in this verse 44. There are persons who are recognizing the futility of material life, and they hit the road. They're after their own liberation, but not me. I want to engage in your service in such a way that others are benefited, and this is the mood of Prahlad. And because of the mood of such very compassionate persons, the whole rest of the world becomes benefited. Conversely, without the mercy of such persons being manifested in this world, the world will rot in this Maya Sukaya civilization. So the message of Prahlad, of the mood of Prahlad, is very, very important for the students of Srimad Bhagavatam and the members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Very, very important. So, end there. See if there's any discussion on this. Questions?
So, what means is the platform of thinking for benefit of others, sorry for upamani kari, at present we should think our benefit and then we should be glad.
The Madhyama Adhikari can also think about the welfare of others. Para upakar. What is the ultimate? In other words, we're interacting with people all the time. Our according to our consciousness, if one is in a materialistic mode, one is thinking, what can I get from that person? If one is in the quality of goodness, what service can I do for the other person? And a transcendentalist is thinking, what is the ultimate good that I can do for this other person? Para upakar. So, we should cultivate that consciousness, although we're not in the Prahlad Maharaj platform of seeing the Supreme Lord face to face at every moment, being totally fixed in all ways. That's not our position. But we can cultivate that consideration under the authority of the Bhagavatam and message of disciplic succession.
Maharaj, like our this behavior with others, it should be like this, so that they benefit, or this is to please my spiritual master, that he will be happy that I am.
Both. Why is it one or the other?
It is not independent.
Yeah, they're simultaneous. Remember, but I was describing the three characteristics of service mood that Prahlad was showing. So one is humility, another is that others should benefit from my activity, and the third is Krishna and Guru should be pleased. So I'm doing something to help another person. And I'm thinking, their welfare. Another essential simultaneous component is that Guru and Krishna should be pleased. It should be done in such a way and in the consciousness that Guru and Krishna should be pleased by that. So that it's not either or. Anybody else back there in the closet? I mean, the next door room? Yes.
How saintly persons like Prahlad can save demonic family? Either they
they come for the, means by their own will, they come for the serve of to serve humanity, or they come through the desire of God?
It's a nice question. Somebody that's like Prahlad, he's serving out of inspiration from Narada, because in his previous life he wasn't doing the same. But by Narada's association, now he's doing that. So he's, you could say, it's not like an add-on embellishment, but it's the awakening, the awakened condition of the soul. You understand the difference? It's not just an ornament that he's wearing, but it's him. And that awakened consciousness within him was by Narada's mercy. So it's coming from him, and it's also Narada doesn't act apart from the will of the Supreme. It's the Supreme Lord's desire that Prahlad will manifest these particular activities in relation to Lord Srinadeva. So he's a recipient of the Lord's mercy through the agency of Narada. But that doesn't mean, I guess, you know, we're in a hopeless position, because we're certainly not going to get something like that happening in our life. Or Prabhupada, on many occasions, he analyzed the doubt or the excuse that we're not Arjuna, we're not going to hear Bhagavad Gita from Krishna directly. So we can't be expected to perform pure devotion like Arjuna, because that happened because of his association with Krishna. So we're not going to get that opportunity. Certainly, I don't anticipate meeting Krishna face to face and having him narrate Bhagavad Gita to me. And so, what to do? You know, we just have to be mediocre. We'll do what we can do. Because we're not going to be so fortunate. We're not going to be chosen like Prahlad was chosen or Arjuna was chosen by the Supreme Lord to directly appear before them. Prabhupada's answer to that doubt is that the Lord makes an arrangement for him to speak directly with others through the parampara. The Lord speaking to Arjuna, and the spiritual master is repeating the message of Krishna speaking to Arjuna. The speaking is the same. That's the mystery of disciplic succession. You follow? Here's how Prabhupada said it. When the spiritual master says, surrender unto Krishna, repeating Krishna's words, surrender unto me, the speaking is the same. It's Krishna speaking. It's not only the same meaning without change in meaning, but it's the same spiritual potency. As that message is coming into disciplic succession and one hears it, same spiritual potency. It's the same. One is directly contacting Krishna through that disciplic succession method. So, we're also chosen. And as Prahlad was saying, I have no qualification. So we can also say, we have no qualification. And it's true. But somehow, some mercy of the Lord is coming into our life through this same system that Prahlad is speaking about, the Priyajanan, persons who are very dear to the Lord, through this descending process of mercy. We're able to hear. So we can also become empowered, like Prahlad. That's what's wanted. That's what the Lord wants. That's what the disciplic succession wants. Members of the disciplic succession. There's only one problem. We don't want. We want a little, you know, a little bit, but not ready for all of that. A little bit. So that's what we get, a little bit. That address your question? Something still tumbling around in there? Huh? It will come later. Okay. Just raise your hand when it comes up again. Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
You gave two examples of Uttama Adhikari requesting the Lord directly to give mercy to the people who are not connected.
Vasudevdat and Prahlad.
I want to know, was the most, was the request honored, particularly of the example of Kali Yuga?
Yeah. Meaning Vasudevdat and Lord Chaitanya? Haridas Thakur, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, towards the very end, in Antya Lila, there's a discussion between the two, where Haridas Thakur says to Lord Chaitanya, "You have mercifully delivered all the living entities of this world. Just by your appearance in this world. And by the invocation of Vasudevdat." So Lord Chaitanya disagrees with Haridas Thakur. He says, "Haridas Thakur, what are you talking about? Look, there's so many living entities everywhere. If they were delivered, they wouldn't be around anymore. Why are you saying like this?" And Haridas Thakur says, "It's true. It's true. I'll prove it to you that it's true. Here. All those living entities have been delivered again to the spiritual world, and the inanimate living entities, the inactive living entities, they've taken their place. And now they're in the form of trees and animals and other life forms." So that's an interesting category of living entities that are inanimate. That's like a big warehouse of another whole other supply of living entities that aren't presently embodied in the 8,400,000 species that we're aware of. They're just kind of in a dormant warehouse space somewhere, inanimate. And they were activated to fill the universe once again. So that's what he says, Haridas Thakur. And it makes sense because the Supreme, just as Prabhupada is saying here, there's no difficulty for the Supreme Lord to be merciful and deliver. No difficulty for him. One might consider, well, if there's no limitation to his doing that, then why doesn't he just do that? Well, there are living entities that they don't want to. They want to stay. But the association of the saintly individual, like Vasudevdat or Prahlad, by their association can soften the heart of such persons so that they actually want to. Like Jagai and Madhai, who were so sinful, but by the association of Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, they wanted to give up that sinful way of life. They weren't forced to against their will, but they wanted to. Their will changed by good association. And therefore, that's what this section is going over. Those very, very qualified persons, compassionately giving their association, is meant to transform the hearts of others. By giving the message of Krishna consciousness and the ways of devotional service to others. And again, people are weak-willed. People are foolish. They take a good thing and spoil it, or reject it, or neglect it, or something. Still, the great devotee, Prahlad, he just wants their deliverance. He relentlessly wants their deliverance. Yes?
You described that Madhava and Kaitava, they stole the Vedas from Lord Prabhupada.
Yeah.
What is meant by stealing the Vedas?
What's that?
What is meant by stealing the Vedas?
Well, he was meant, the detail is, he was resting. As he was resting, from his breathing, the Vedas were coming. And so that's what they stole. The Vedas that were being manifest from Brahma's breathing in some subtle form, I suppose. So that's what it meant. Is they were off for their heist. Stealing the Vedas. Taking them from Brahma for their nefarious purposes. Question? No. Yes.
Why Lord wanted that Lord Brahma should go through so much austerity to understand his austerity?
Why do we have to fast on Ekadasis? It's nice. Lord Prabhupada didn't mind. He likes austerities. The idea behind the austerity is not just... there's a dictionary definition of tapasya. Prabhupada presents this somewhere. I read it recently. Tapo divyam puta kriyena sattvam shudyat brahma sokyam tvanantam. Tapasya, a dictionary definition is withdrawing the mind and senses and consolidating them in one activity. That's tapasya. Tapasya doesn't necessarily mean it has to hurt. So, japa is a form of tapa, because we're engaging our senses and our mind in a consolidated way upon one activity and not letting the mind and the senses engage in other activity. That's nice. Unless somebody is accustomed to their mind being all over the creation. And then bringing the mind upon the holy name, it hurts. But austerity doesn't mean it has to hurt. Then it's austerity. That's not the meaning. There are persons who don't understand the meaning, and they engage in very, very severe activities with the understanding of depriving the senses will burn the desire that's resting on those senses. So no longer have a desire. The objective for such persons is to become desireless by just burning up the senses and thus burning up the desire within those senses. Lying on a bed of nails. It hurts. Building a fire in the middle of the summer, circle of fire and sitting in the middle. It hurts. etc. But that's missing the point of tapasya. Fixing the mind and senses upon one thing, and that one thing is devotion to the Supreme. One doesn't have to do all that. Some of our Gurukul kids, they're graduates. They're now in charge of the Hare Krishna World video. They've just put together a little advertisement for it. It shows a yogi, I think it's in California. He's got his head in the sand. He's doing a headstand in the middle of the beach with his head buried in the sand, literally, and his legs protruding out of the sand. So he's doing some tapasya. And their caption is some people do anything to get attention. So when he pulls his hand out of the sand, finally, let's see if he no longer has any desires. And has that position of no other desire is the position of desiring only Krishna. And that's what the Bhagavatam is saying here. This is the theme. Nanyam tvad asya sharanam brahmato nupashye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. So tapasya is to make one happy. Mind and senses fully absorbed in service of the Supreme. When that ultimate happiness is there, nothing can take my mind or senses away. Done, huh? Yes, one more. What's that?
Naraka came in bad association with Anasura.
Yeah.
And he also became an Asura.
Yeah. Better watch out.
But it can say both the deer and the lords.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That association is so horrible. Watch out for bad association. And there aren't asuras these days that are of the stature of Vanasura, but neither are we of the stature of the sons of the Supreme Personality Godhead. The bad association is very, very dangerous. Prabhupada taught, just like with the Ajamil story, that before one can trace in anyone's fall down from spiritual life or to adopt the position of bad qualities, there's a bad association. When one accepts bad association and begins to associate with such bad association, then one's good qualities are taken away. Therefore, we should be very careful to avoid such association and to seek the association of spiritually minded persons. Just like a number of you coming from class at 6 o'clock and dashing over here and coming for the hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I think I'll end here. Add a little kirtan. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai.